Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with my partner, Mr. Stone Payton. How are you doing today, Stone?
Well, good morning, sir. I am doing well. I'm getting jazzed. My parents are driving up from Pensacola today. I know they'll either bring fresh seafood or meat. I don't know which. It's a mystery. But I got to tell you what I'm going to do this weekend. After filling myself this evening and doing a little bit of work tomorrow, Saturday I'm going to the Georgia World Congress Center. And I and about 3,500 other people, most of them female, are going to go to see Oprah. How cool is that, right?
You're just hanging out with Oprah?
Me and my buddy Oprah.
She does shows? She's on tour?
I really don't know. It's mom's birthday. It's the 15th. And that's what she wanted for her birthday was she wanted her son to go to Oprah with her. So she's driving up. We're doing the
seafood
thing.
So you got this for her or she got this for you?
No, Dad wrote the check. I just said I would be there. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be interesting, to say the least. Is it just Oprah or she's got her whole crew?
I really think she might be showing up with Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil and the whole crew. I don't know. It's all, you know, I'm just kind of letting it
and maybe
come as it comes.
Who's got Rosie O'Donnell's got a show with her now. No, maybe she'll show up too.
You're joking.
No, really?
No way.
Just started.
Are you serious? No, what does she have to talk about?
She used to have a show. She had a popular show.
Yeah, but ours is more popular than that one.
I don't know. Maybe when you're there, you can ask her to get
well,
in the
loop. That's
going to
be fun. The tall guy's here.
But, you're right.
But he's late, so we're not going to let him play for a little while. He'll have to sit and watch.
No, so
in the penalty box for a little while.
All right, so but why don't we just jump into the show because we do have a big crowd here today.
Okay.
We're going to lead off with our friend Marcel Crudell, and he is with Socket. Welcome to the show, Marcel.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So, Marcel, why don't you talk about Socket and what you guys are up to over there?
Yeah, Socket is basically where a loyalty command center helps local organizations orchestrate all the different ways they interact with patrons online. So there's a lot of stuff going on with Facebook, Twitter, their own website, and we just help make sense of it all so that they can engage with their customers and grow their business.
And is that the end? Like, who is your customer? Is your customer the like the restaurant, or is your customer the people who work with restaurants?
Well, certainly the actual organization, the business, can use Socket. But what we found is that there's a lot of challenges with lack of new media expertise. So what we found to be more effective is to partner with agencies. And they actually come in and provide some of the guidance, and we provide the tools that make it easier.
So restaurants, are they a little more open-minded in your experience? Do they resonate a little better with this whole new social media world than the short sleeve, you know, clipboard carrying cigar smoking manufacturer's rep guy, or do they have some really real reservations as well?
It's kind of like whether you're a restaurant or retail store or event venue, we're kind of in a state where that websites were in the 90s. Everyone kind of felt that they needed one, but they didn't really know why. So everyone's doing this online stuff, but they really don't, they're having challenges knowing what to do, and they really don't know how to measure if it's being effective or not. So they're very open to it, and they're doing it. I think they're 80% of small medium businesses are engaging customers online. They just don't know how to do it effectively.
They're not doing it right. Is that what you're saying?
And I think that's kind of the opportunity. It's everyone's kind of convinced themselves that it's very valuable to do. They just don't know why.
Now, what's a kind of a misconception you see people kind of making in this space?
With regards to businesses or?
Right, like how they're using it, or maybe they think it should do something and it's really not, and maybe it would be better served to do something else.
I actually had this conversation last night. The biggest thing that I see is they think it's print advertisement. So it's what I've come to call broadcast marketing. They're using it like broadcast marketing. They're pushing this message out, and they're not listening. They're not engaging. Where that's where the real opportunity is. If you think way back in the 1900s, the local shop owner knew his patrons by name, and he talked to them, and there was a relationship there. And then they moved into the direction of this kind of broadcast marketing where they're just pushing a message in front of the audience.
Right.
And they're kind of going online with that same mentality. And it actually is there's a learning curve saying, look, you're supposed to talk to people, not at them.
there's an idea.
And so technology has actually kind of brought us full circle to where now there are tons of ways to directly engage with your audience, which, of course, helps encourage return visits and builds that loyalty. And they expect you to engage with them.
But aren't you talking about three separate components here? One is the broadcasting, or here I'm shouting my message, mm-hmm. listen to me, do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the old school way.
Right.
Then another component of this that you mentioned was listening, is you can just kind of go online and just kind of see how people are talking about you. That's another element.
Right.
But then now you're saying there's a third element of engaging is actually listening and then kind of responding back kind of one-on-one.
Exactly right. There's one restaurant we work with that's in Midtown, and so we keep them their patrons informed about what's going on with them, but about half of our messages are what's going on in Midtown or things that we think the audience will be interested in. So it really is more of a relationship that you're trying to build. You're trying to create these passionate patrons, and they're open to it. That's what they're expecting from you. So it's a way to promote yourself and tell people what's going on with your business so that they'll come in. But it's also about engaging them and providing value. If they're following you on Twitter or they're a fan on Facebook, give them information that helps them. And sometimes it'll be a message promoting yourself, and sometimes it'll be something that just helps them overall.
So what does an engagement with your firm look like? When we first sit down and talk, how does that conversation go? And then what am I writing my first check for? Mm-hmm. And what kind of outcomes am I supposed to expect, near term, mid term? Walk us through that, if you will, a little bit.
Well, an engagement with us is right now we're kind of what we really are is we're a technology. We're a platform that helps make all this easier. But it's kind of like if you're opening up a restaurant and you have built out the best kitchen ever, you've got every piece of equipment you could possibly imagine, you can make anything in that kitchen, but you don't have a chef. So we're the really awesome kitchen that makes everything really easy, but you still actually have to know what you're doing, which is why we like partnering with agencies. So we can provide them a great kitchen and they're great chefs. So a lot of what our value is working with agencies and better understanding their needs, because they have, 100 clients, and we get the aggregation of what the real pain is so that we can address it through technology. And then we work with them to better understand how can we improve this interaction for both the agency, who typically, well, in many cases will act as the voice of their clients, or at least provide training to their clients. So we're typically talking to agencies, and the engagement looks like, here's our product, go out and use it with your clients. We're going to save you a whole bunch of time, increase your margins. We're going to help your customers reach their patrons more, which is going to drive revenue. So everyone makes money, everyone's happy, including the customers who are able to find the businesses that they're passionate about.
Now, Marcel, you brought one of your clients, is that right? Or
partner,
you work
partner. I'd say partner. Yeah.
So we don't use client in your.
Especially with Trevolino Keller, definitely partner.
Okay, so why don't we introduce Dean Trevolino? And Dean, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys do and how you and Saka work together?
Sure. So we're by nature a traditional public relations firm. Like a lot of agencies, we've evolved over the years. So our services tend to be more public relations, social media, brand communications. All of those components these days are particularly relevant when you're launching a social media strategy. The PR side of what we do is really kind of the focus on developing content, and content really is king as it relates to social media. The social piece is, as Marcel is saying, is, you know, we can come in there and help a company ramp up their social strategy. We'll develop what that strategy should be. We'll work on kind of the listening platform, which is very important. It's kind of the first piece once you've made the commitment to get out there. And then we'll come up with concepts, campaigns to either drive new customers or more traffic, more loyalty. But ultimately, what we like to do is use a platform like Socket, because that streamlines it, right? Otherwise, we're doing everything manually.
And it's kind of one at a time, right? Doesn't his platform allow you to kind of get a big picture view and you can kind of monitor all your clients kind of at the same time?
It does. So it's a great aggregator. It's a great visual dashboard to kind of look at all the different properties that you have. And those properties are, you know, there's a new platform showing up every day, right? We used to be very focused on Facebook, and then Twitter came along, and then, you know, we have to have a YouTube strategy. Well, we've also got to have a Foursquare strategy now. There's a personal Foursquare strategy. There's a brand Foursquare strategy. So it just, you know, it keeps evolving and scaling. That's, you've got to have a LinkedIn one. So
it's good job security for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's, you know, it's a fascinating space now. And if you're, you know, if you're a PR firm, it's, at least we believe it's great, because we think that the PR firm should be managing the social strategy, because there it is largely informational, or it should be largely informational. Too many companies today are using it purely as a promotional platform, and that you run the risk that you just kind of turn people off. You've gone through some effort to get them to begin to follow you or friend you or fan you, and then you push them away because all you do is send them, you know, promotions. And I think Marcel's comment about, you know, if you're in a restaurant in Midtown, you shouldn't just be pushing content about yourself, right?
Right.
You need to become a kind of a trusted, valuable brand in the market where people are coming to you because you either send out really entertaining information or informative information, and then along the way you push something out that's more promotional.
Now, what do you think is a good ratio of promotion to information?
That's, you know, that's the $64,000 question. So I think it depends on
13%
your brand. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on your brand, but you know, I would say you should be weighted more on the informational side.
Sure.
And you should be pacing yourself on the promotional side.
Right.
So 80% information one day, maybe you're a little bit more promotional the next day. Ultimately, you should be building a calendar so that you can manage it properly, not just wing it every, you know, every day, every week.
Is that a misstep you see kind of the smaller players doing? Is there, like, every day they're like, oh, what should we do today? And then they just make some up top of their head?
Size does not, you know, determine whether you're doing it right or wrong. I mean,
right.
There's a lot of big companies out there that are doing it, you know, ineffectively. As Marcel said, it's all about doing it effectively. And there's a lot of companies out there that are doing it, but they're not being smart about it.
So how do you intelligently shop for PR support or PR as a partner? I mean, that's not something you buy every day, right? It's like you buy a car every 5 or 6 years. That's not something you do every day. How did you go about finding the right PR partner, Marcel?
We don't talk to anyone unless they're very good at social media and they're very engaged with it. Well, and it's more than social media. It's your overall online presence, because you also have your website. You're trying to monitor things like blogs and news posts. So our big focus is online presence. So if you don't do that, we're not there to convince you to do it. You have to already be doing it, actively engaged in it, which makes the conversation a lot easier because you understand what the pain is that we're addressing. So that's how we kind of gauge the agencies that we want to work with. And going back to the information promotional blend, we're working with Technology Association of Georgia, and their rule of thumb is a 70-30, 70% informational, 30% talking about the events they have coming up. And a more recent
A subset of that 30%, how much is of that 30% is actually, you know, having an offer?
It really,
there's one thing promotional that says, hey, it's great here, we're having a great time here.
Right.
But another thing is saying, come in and save, you know, 10% or something.
I bet a little bit of that goes a long way, would be my.
Yeah, that's
it does
true
for me. Right?
And actually, one restaurant that started using Socket, they were using a technology that automatically broadcasts. They had basically a special every night, so it automatically broadcasted, and we've kind of shifted them away to get more engaged with their audience, and we're looking at the metrics right now, and they have absolutely no engagement with their automated announcements, no likes, no comments, no
right,
anything.
Right.
But the stuff that's more organic and more personalized, they're getting, you know, 5-10 different comments, likes. So we get that. That's one of the things that Socket helps you do, is it says we measure buzz, influence, and interaction. And those are the keys. It's not the number of messages you send out. It's are people paying attention to you?
Now, Dean, you were talking about effectiveness earlier. How do you define effectiveness? Doesn't each client of yours have different objectives?
They do. And so you want to make sure that you don't skip that step in the beginning of the relationship, right? You've got to define, you know, are we trying to build brand because we have very little brand awareness? Are we trying to, and then are we trying to build that brand awareness within our trade area, right? So if you're a restaurant, retailer, that mile and a half radius, that's our focus. Or maybe we're, you know, opening up several locations in an area, so we need to really focus beyond just the trade area and the marketplace, right? So it could be brand awareness. It could be traffic. It could be tied to a particular product that we're launching. We want to see if we can get some traction there. So you got to set those objectives up front, and then you put some metrics to it, right? And again, those metrics could be traffic in store, could be traffic to the website, it could be adding friends to your Facebook page. It could be.
Is it ever? I'm making more money. Is that ever a
How
metric?
How about that for a metric?
It should be at some point on making more money. You know, but there's a misconception that, you know, if you launch a program, launch a social campaign, that's going to all of a sudden save your business, right? And so we try to discourage, you know, that kind of thinking. It, you know, like PR, social, it can have a huge impact, but more often it should be a continuity strategy.
But, you know, it's hard to take 1,000 likes to the store and buy a flat screen.
Well, but if you've got 1,000, you know, folks that are engaged, you know, if you can come up with a compelling campaign and you know what your cost base is, then, you know, you put out, if you've got a $3 product and you know, it only costs you 30 cents to make it, then, you know, you give away a buck off of it, and all of a sudden those 1,000 people, maybe 200 who've never been to your store before, all of a sudden show up, and, you know, you do the math. You can actually make some money, and now you've got 200 people that haven't been there, and in theory, if they've had a great experience, because that's the other piece of it, you can't forget the basics of, you've got to create a compelling experience once you get them in the door. Then now all of a sudden those folks are going out there telling other people, and that number continues to grow and scale. And
when they do, and that's part of the, I think, the beauty of Socket is if somebody goes on and talks about this restaurant on Twitter and they say, I had a great meal at blah, blah, blah. Now you have the tools to actually go and engage with them and say, what'd you order?
Right.
Like you can then begin an actual dialogue, a one-on-one conversation with them.
Exactly, and it's it is about building that relationship is really, really key, and it makes it more personal. They know they're going to have a great time when they're actually giving you money, and that relationship extends beyond that. So, if you went to any business and you said, "What's the best type of marketing?" They're going to say word of mouth.
Right,
and that's something that is you have to generate through genuine interaction. It's not something that you can necessarily buy, which is why it's a combination of the technology and knowing how to use the technology as well as the strategy that the agencies provide.
Right. And this social media gives you kind of a way to broadcast word of mouth and then create these one-on-one engagements.
Yeah. So one of the businesses we're working with, they just ramped up their Twitter engagement, and they have, I think, 25 followers. Fantastic.
Right.
But they're doing a really good job engaging those followers. So they're getting retweeted by people that have 2,000 followers.
Right. And it's better to have 25 engaged followers than it is to have 2,000 unengaged followers.
Without a doubt. Absolutely. And getting back to your original point about how do you pull this full circle to see, you know, is this generating revenue? Well, you can take a conversation online, and then you can start looking at the analytics and say, okay, well, how have our check-ins increased through Facebook, Foursquare? And Foursquare actually gives you a good feedback mechanism for, especially if you're tracking it in your POS system. Mm-hmm. You can track how many people are coming to us through this. How many of those people are new people? And if you structure your offer, a newbie special versus a loyalty special of every third check-in, that helps you measure that as well.
Well, I'm intrigued with the partnership because it strikes me that you engage a firm like ours or maybe a larger firm, you become our trusted go-to person to get our messaging out, our branding out. You help us keep from shooting ourselves in the backside with all this Facebook and Twitter and all this business. And then just like a doctor, you tell me, Stone, it's time to take the next step. And what you really need to do to manage all this is work with Socket. Is that is that an accurate description of how you guys work together on these things?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good description. I mean, again, with a tool like Socket, we could be dramatically more efficient in what we're doing. And, you know, a few years ago when agencies were getting into social media, it was all manual, right? And now when you talk about what's the percentage of, you know, information versus promotion, it's a little, you know, you think along the same lines. How much do we need to do manually and how much do we need to leverage technology?
Right.
And I think, you know, we've always been looking at what's the best solution out there to make us keep our hands in it, but make us more efficient. And Socket is a great platform to give us control, but also, you know, incredible efficiency.
Well, everybody wins on this one, to my way of thinking, because the customer gets a more thorough product service to help them with what they're trying to do. You have distinct competitive advantage in the marketplace because you got this guy in your back pocket, and you've got a rainmaker out there stirring up the business for you.
Exactly. So it keeps our overhead low because they're providing support services,
right,
and then they're coming back to us and saying, of the 100 clients I have, here's what we need next. So they're actually helping to direct our development
strategy. We need a dean.
That's it.
Well, what an informative, delightful interview. Thanks, guys, for coming in and sharing about your work. Before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you, and we'll start with both of you, and learn more about your services. And let's start with you, Marcel. What's the best way for them to reach out and contact you?
They can reach me by going to socket.com, and that's S-O-K-E-T. We couldn't afford the C, so. and they can certainly reach me through email at Marcel, M-A-R-C-E-L, at socket.com.
And you guys don't use Twitter or Facebook or anything?
My Twitter handle is mcrudel, and that's also a great way to reach me.
And Mr. Dean.
Yeah, easiest way is just go to our website, which is Trevelino, T-R-E-V-E-L-I-N-O, Keller.com, and you'll get access to all of our online properties, my email, phone number, et cetera.
And can we get the inside track on where to buy that watch? That watch, I noticed at the moment you came in, that's really very unique.
It's eBay. Like it. It's all eBay. All online. It's only
everything's
way I shop.
Online with these guys. Right. Hey, listen, can y'all hang out with us for a little while we visit with our next guest?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Grand Poobah Chief Executive Officer with Swipe for Change, Ms. Maha. I'm going to screw up the last name. How do you pronounce your last name, Maha?
Ibieri.
Ibieri. Well, we are delighted to have you on the show.
And I am delighted to be here.
So Swipe for Change, what are you guys out there doing for folks?
We are primarily a fundraising engine. Excuse me. We fundraise for nonprofits in a very innovative fashion. We use ordinary costs of business to create sustainable revenues that are directly and seamlessly transferred to nonprofit organizations.
I don't think that's the first time she's answered that question. That was very articulate.
You've done this before.
I have done this before.
So what is this kind of unique method you have of transferring the funds from your client to the nonprofit?
Sure. So, as I said, we use an ordinary cost of business, and the ordinary cost of business that we use is credit card processing. We've come into this industry and actually run somewhat of a disruptive model. We've taken the conventional model and redesigned it for a very different audience, and that audience being the charitable-minded consumer, the corporately responsible individual, and the nonprofit manager looking for innovative ways to fundraise.
And so help me understand exactly the problem that you're solving for the end-user client and the problem that you're solving for the fundraiser.
Sure. In the fundraising arena, given the past few years of the economic climate, they have seen it a tremendous difficulty in getting monies, funds, grants, all types of financial support. And essentially, they are cash-based businesses. And when their cash stream dries up, they have no resources to proliferate and carry out their programs.
Right, because they have to raise money constantly. Like, it's not like they raise it once and then they kind of live off the money. They got to just, every day is a new day.
Correct. Every day is a new day, although most nonprofits do the majority of their fundraising between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then they finance themselves and sustain themselves throughout the year to be able to continue fundraising on the monies raised during that time.
That's got to be a stressful schedule. It sounds an awful lot like retail, right? It's all
right.
Comes down to, you know, 45, 60 days, and you either hit it or you don't. That's got to be incredibly stressful. You must be a godsend to these people.
I definitely think we provide them a value and a service that they need. The donations that we provide are sustainable and they are recurring. We link them with a business that would sponsor them, and the donations from the credit card processing proceeds are sent to the nonprofit, accrued on a monthly basis and distributed quarterly. But they can always see their finances through our system, so they are able to project what monies will be coming and in what quantities when. So they can stabilize their programs and make decisions on what programs that are viable are staying, and they have resources to support, and which ones are less viable and, you know, may not make the agenda moving forward.
Now, can you kind of walk us through how this works in terms of, I'm the retailer now. Like, here I am a retailer and I sell smoothies. So how would that work for me? Now, you brought somebody here who's an expert in retailing.
I did.
Is that correct?
I did. Derek Van Dam is our director of sales, and I think he is most appropriately suited to walk you through that.
All right. So, Derek, so share with us. I'm a retailer. I sell smoothies. Why would I want to do this, and how does it work?
Well, the reason that you would want to do it is that there's really no downside for you. You have an opportunity here to be able to give to a great cause that's close to your heart, and you're going to be able to do so in a way that's not actually going to cost you any money.
Right, because I already have a merchant account
that's
with
correct.
Somebody that's...
I like that ordinary cost of business that you
right,
said.
Right, so I'm already paying
cool.
this to somebody.
Right.
So I might as well pay it to you.
Well, exactly right. You know, because what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at that existing account. We're going to figure out and break it down. Sometimes these statements are a little hard to read.
Right, they're very complex and they're
right.
tricky.
Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is to simplify it, make it easier for them to understand what it is that they're currently paying now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go forward. Offering them a proposal where we are in the worst case scenario keeping their rates exactly the same as it was before. But what we've been finding recently is that there are a number of merchants out there that were currently getting taken advantage of by their existing processor. And in those situations, in addition to being able to give them the great benefit of giving to a cause that's important to them, we also many times can save them some money in the process. And while that may not be our the first thing that we're looking to do, it's just that makes the situation even that much more. It's more of a wow factor when we come in and say, listen, we originally thought we were going to be able to match and give to the cause, but in addition to that, from our information, we found out that you were getting taken advantage of, and take a look at this, and then we break it down for
so
them.
So now I basically all I have to do is work with you and switch my merchant account to whatever your merchant account.
That's correct.
Or swipe for change.
Mm-hmm.
And then can I choose the charity? And if I can say, look, you know, we're really, you know, the United Way is super important to us. We'd like to make that the official charity of our, you know, our smoothie place. Can I do that?
Absolutely. What we do is in the course of us taking an application from them, the very first question we ask is who it is that they want to give their proceeds to.
Right.
And then there is a process by which we go through in evaluating these different organizations to make sure that that they meet certain criteria. We don't want to say we automatically give to anyone.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that is that there are certain nonprofits out there that are less efficient than others in terms of distribution of their money.
This right. guy could run for office.
Yeah, I think so.
If we come across somebody...
So I can't say I'm going to do my kids' college fund charity.
Well, that much is for sure. I mean, you got to be a 501c3 right. before we consider it. But more to the point, there are organizations out there where maybe when you donate only 30 cents on the dollar, go to the actual cause itself. The other 70 cents goes to
right.
overhead and a lot of, you know, just bureaucracy and red tape at these organizations.
So you can help me, like if I say I want to help, you know, poor children in Africa, and I say I want this charity, you can say, you know what, if you want to do that to reach those people, this other charity would serve you better.
See, fortunately, we haven't really come across the situation yet, but every single time we do look very closely at the financial statements of that nonprofit to make sure that it does meet the criteria that we're looking for. And we have been fortunate that all of the requests we've received to date, we have been able to honor. But that doesn't mean that there couldn't come a situation down the road where we might have to say something along the lines of what you just said.
Right.
So I wonder, and I'm sure you can share some ideas with us, what would be some ways to leverage the fact that you've done this without coming out and sounding too boastful? But let's say that we did that. We were selling smoothies. We started working with Swipe for Change. And now we want the community to know, hey, we're good guys. You know, when you swipe over here, some money goes. What are some ways to leverage that and promote that?
Do you help your customer do that? Kind of get the word out?
We do. And the way that we go about doing that, and this is where some of Maha's previous experience really comes to benefit us, because she comes from a very deep and strong marketing background. But what we do is we provide decals that they can put on their door, on their window, and then we have another, like a pop tent, for lack of a better word, that we put at the point of sale, so that when a customer comes in, that they know that when they use their credit card, a portion of the proceeds is going to the, you know, XYZ Foundation or Society or whatever it is that they like. And even if the business owner themselves is not that socially conscious, they at least are usually smart enough to know that their customers are. And more importantly, their prospective customers are, because that if all else is equal and a person sitting in a strip mall looking at three different restaurants that they want to go to lunch for, and they see in the window of one of those restaurants that by dining there and using their credit card, that a portion is going to go, let's say, to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and that's something that's very close to their heart, well, that could very well seal the deal and bring that extra customer in the door. So even for the business owners out there that aren't that socially conscious, there still is a selfish reason, for lack of a better word, for them to want to do this as well.
But also for them, it's like a continuous promotion. I mean, some restaurants will say, if you, you know, we're advertising for this high school, if you want to bring in your girls and your troops and get the rally the community to come in on Wednesday night, well, with this model, it's an everyday process. So you just have to frequent this business. You make the choice as the consumer. This business gives back and does good for my community, so I choose to shop here. You're not limited to any cause branded products. You walk in, you make your purchase, and the money is donated every day.
Now, can it be the school? Like, because a lot of the PTAs have foundations that are.
It can be a school. It can be a PTA. It can be a band organization. The criteria is that it is a 501c3 organization.
That's the criteria. That's the only.
That's the leading criteria. Right. It's not the only criteria.
Now, on paper and on air, this to me sounds like a slam dunk concept that should be very easy to sell. This is not my first rodeo. I'm sure there are still challenges in marketing even in this. How do you find the people that should be doing this? And talk to me a little bit about the selling marketing process of this thing. Or is it really that easy?
Well, to be honest, we're really, our marketing efforts at this part have been exclusively word of mouth, because we're looking, we want this to be a relationship business. So if we're introduced by somebody else, it helps in fostering that relationship. Now, that doesn't mean down the road we might not explore some different opportunities, but for right now, we're going on, you know, for example, I signed up my dentist recently, okay, and he said he loved it, loved the service, and he was in a strip mall, and literally, they walked me from door to door to literally everybody in that strip mall. That's how excited they were about the process. Now, this also gave them an opportunity for them to put up their organization that they were really proud of, because my dentist also sat on a board of a nonprofit. So it was a twofold situation in that case.
Right.
But that's kind of how we like to look at this. This is a win-win situation across the board to everybody involved. It's a win-win for the nonprofit. They're having regular income coming in. It's a win for the business owner, because it's not costing them anything. And they're, you might drive in additional customers. It's a win for the customer, because they feel like they're giving back, and it's not an awkward buy.
Because I'm not paying a premium, right? Like, I don't even know anything about this world, but I'm not paying more for my merchant services by doing this than I would.
No, you might be paying less.
Might even pay less if I didn't do a very good job of paying last time.
Right, exactly right. At the worst case situation, it's going to be the same as it was before. But in many situations, we can save them money if they weren't priced. We do a fair market analysis. If they're not priced at the same as other businesses of that type in a particular region, then we'll be the ones to point that out to them. Because, again, this is a relationship business. We're not out there to take advantage of people. We're out there to build a strong brand and identify with people. And we can't do that if we're you know, taking people to the tool shed.
Yeah. And exactly. And due to the nature of our work and working with nonprofits, we have to provide integrity and trustworthiness and transparency. And that's what we're really, you know, going after here, to build those relationships.
Well, this has to be incredibly rewarding work for both of you. And was this, is this your brainchild, Maha? Or how,
yeah? It is my brainchild.
How'd you come up with this?
Yeah.
It came from just realizing, sitting back at first and reading lots of articles, and, you know, nonprofits are going under, and community, you know, crime in community was rising, and, you know, all of these programs were basically, there are needs out there, and watching the news and seeing, you know, government funds drying up, and the reality is the need still exists no matter if the condition changes. And, you know, thinking about some of my own personal, you know, life experiences, and thinking of ways that I could just help and give back and
right.
change the direction of what it was that I was doing at the time, and using that to benefit not just, you know, a company or a brand, but many, many, many people.
Yeah, I know we've, Stone, we've, in here, we've had a lot of the smaller nonprofits are having to consolidate, or a lot of them are even going out of business because they can't fundraise enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when I buy something this afternoon, I'm going to, if I look and I don't see that pop-up thingy you're talking, I'm going to say, what, you don't do swipe for change? I can't trade here.
Excellent. Please do that.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Well, what's the best way of somebody, like, I guess you have, you serve a couple people. One is the retailers. If a retailer wanted to learn more, or a nonprofit, if they wanted to learn more, that's also somebody you'd be interested in speaking with. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Now, what's the best way for them to learn more about what you guys are up to?
Well, they could call directly into the company. Obviously, that's the best situation that we can go for. Maha handles a lot of the relationships with the nonprofits, and I work with the merchants directly, so it would kind of depend on which situation that you go with. I think it would probably be best to just call our main number and hit the department that they're most interested in. Our toll-free number is 1-800-219-5727. If you are interested in, if you are a merchant and you want to speak to me directly, I'm at extension 814. And then if you want to also, there's a prompt on there for nonprofits as well.
Yeah, the nonprofit direct prompt is 813, or the direct line, rather.
And your website?
Our website is www.swipeforchange.com.
And swipe is the swiping of a credit card.
It is.
Cool. Well, great show, Stone. Did you learn anything?
I did. I learned a ton. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned a great deal from the first interview as well. But I find what you guys are doing just particularly inspiring.
Thank you.
I just wish all the best for you. And if there's anything else we can be doing to help you on this side, let us know. I tell you what would be fun is maybe have them come back with a delighted merchant and or nonprofit. That could be cool.
Right. That would be good
to see how they work together. Would y'all be up for
that? We would absolutely be up for that.
All right. Cool.
Cool. Well, this wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next time.